Want to learn how to break through the noise and clutter in order to stand out as an artist? We're kicking things off today with Daryl Hirst of CD Baby and of Indie Week. Daryl Hirst has a 25-year history in the music business. He consults for a number of international business development programs and conferences. He's the director of market development in Canada for CD Baby, and Indie Week is Canada's largest emerging artist showcase festival / conferences happening this week, which is November 9th through 13th, 2021. Welcome to season two of the Funktastic Chats podcast. My chat with Daryl today is going to cover building an online community through virtual conferences and how Daryl was able to take 240 bands from around the world in over 40 countries and now hosting virtual events with keynote speakers and panelists. Yes, that's right. A big international live festival turned into a massive virtual experience. All right, originally from Edmonton, Alberta, Daryl Hirst has spent his life in the music industry. He's the director of marketing in Canada for CD Baby and owner, programmer, and international developer for Indie Week, which is a music industry conference happening this November 9th through 13th that hosts music industry professionals in a virtual conference space for developing artists. So we're here talking to Daryl. Hey, Daryl, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. And normally I'm in Toronto, but I'm actually back in Edmonton right now. I saw that you said I'm originally from Edmonton. I'm in Edmonton right now visiting family.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So thank you for having me. I'm really excited for this conversation.
Oh, me too. So you've got 240 bands around the world in 40 countries, most recently hosting virtual events. What do you do to help artists elevate their careers? I know that might be a loaded question, but I'd love to hear about that, because a lot of artists, they don't really have the business world. They're not surrounded in that like we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Normally when we're in person, it's like 240 bands in 25 bars downtown Toronto. And we're missing that live aspect right now, but we're virtual, and really we're seeing this as a positive thing. Like, we have to try to be positive and move forward. So a lot of the online programming is about collaboration, is about connections, about education, business development. It can be very overwhelming, and we try to package it in a way that an artist can digest it, but also go back to the content and review it again and again.
It sounds like the growth of Indie Week is more organic than anything. I saw the Indie Week Festival came to Ireland because a band from Ireland played Indie Week in Canada, and you were getting all this international attention from different bands, and they won the most popular band. You formed a relationship with them and started managing them, right? And eventually went over to Indie Week. Is that how that happened?
You've done your research, yes. So yeah, the band was called Vestivaro. They came over and they just wowed everybody. Like, it was like, who's this and where did they come from? And we kept talking after the festival, and I went over to Ireland. We had talks, and then we actually had them back in Canada. And then they asked me to be their manager. So then I said yes. And I was working with them for about 2.5 years. And through them, they said, why don't we have an Indie Week in Ireland? There's so many good bands in Ireland. And truthfully, there's so many good bands in Ireland. Lots of great music from there. So we were there for about 6 years. I managed them for about 2.5. And then we moved Indie Week to UK, bigger market and such. And then Brexit happened. And it looked like it would be really difficult to have traveling bands come into the UK, and a lot of paperwork and such. So we put a pause on that. We haven't gone back since. We've just actually started focusing on Indie Week Canada and elevating that on the international landscape more. And with COVID, we've actually launched 3 more online conferences. So we host 4 conferences online. It's crazy, but really rewarding, as we're seeing a lot of artists get a lot out of it. And, you know, connecting with artists in other markets and their songwriting, producing, remixing. It's been great to see.
When you put these festivals on in different countries, I know this would be helpful to a lot of emerging artists. How do you put yourself in a position to really do your passion and at the same time invest in yourself, even though
there might be a risk involved. I'd love to hear about that balance between the two.
The point is, if you don't take the chance, it's 100% nothing's going to happen. So I'd rather have the chance at something happening and going for it. Because, like, there's a lot of artists, I'll say, you know, you should go to South By, you should go to Reaper Bond, you should go to Great Escape. These are all great conferences. And this is how you learn and you can build audiences. And it's not overnight. You go, you make some relationships, you call. It might take 6 to 8 months to figure something out. It might take 12 months, but go back. And the thing is, when an artist says, oh, is it worth it? I just go, nah, stay home on the couch. That's worth it. There's lots going to happen when you do that. And I'll be honest, it's like whenever I've taken the biggest chances, that's when I've had the biggest rewards.
Just to put it in perspective, I think I heard you say that when you first started going virtual, I think you did a Zoom meeting and only 34 people showed up on the first one. And then you were able to turn this into just a massive virtual experience. What goes into that? Just with your staff, and how did you grow this thing to just be huge with all these different presenters?
You got to be a little bit crazy first. I'm the crazy one, and my staff try
to
keep
that going for me.
Yeah, I'm the crazy one, and my staff keep me in line. I've got a great team that really, you know, support the vision and put a lot of efforts. Like, it's so much work goes in, but the results have been great. So, just to give you a sort of snapshot, when COVID started, I was like, I'd already been through SARS years before, and I kind of know what it looks like. I'm like, we can't do this live in November. This was March, start of March. I'm like, we just canceled. And so I saw when I thought all the conferences in the spring are going to change their dates to the fall, and we're all going to be on top of each other, and it's all going to be a mess. We don't know if we could be live or partly live or not live. Like, that's just like so much work to be unknown. So I just flat out canceled. Then, and I was actually looking forward to a nice year off. I was like, great, I haven't had that in 20 years. So I have a year off. But then it was in July of 2020 where I started seeing, you know what, we can do stuff online. So I had a talk with some of my staff and like, do we go for it? And they're like, yeah. So we, with no plan, announced Indie Week 2020 online and put tickets on sale with nothing, no schedule, no sponsors yet, nothing. And people bought tickets. And so normally in July, we have already talked to sponsors. We've already got funding. We've already got, you know, scheduling in the works. And like, it's like, okay, now we're way behind. This is going to be harder than normal to, like, we got less time to put it all together and also less time to do marketing. So we said, what's going to be the best way to get this out there? We have to market, but we don't have anything. So we started what's called Indie Weekly, and it's every Tuesday at 4 p.m. and it's free. And essentially people signing up, and that gave us an email that we could later start going, we have Indie Week coming. We have messaging, like speakers. Here's our schedule. Tickets are on sale. And so by giving away something free on a weekly sense, we built our mailing list with people that are engaged with online. So it's like already the right demographic and people who are showing up and getting a sense on what we're about. And it was amazing. Like, by the time we got to Indie Week, it was like, wow, this really worked. And we really worked hard at putting something together that's quality. And then once it was over, it's like, man, if we wait 12 months, we're going to lose all of our momentum. Let's do another one. So let's do one in February. Why not? And so that one was a little bit different, even because it was second week of December that we had to come up with a name, a brand, a web schedule, and speakers, because we only had 2 months, and marketing over Christmas and New Year's just is not great. And it was called Screen by Screen, and it really turned out. And we're like, okay, we got to keep this rolling. So we did Indie 101 in April, and that's really about education. And then we did Music Pro Summit in September, and that's high-level industry discussions. Like, we had Deezer and Spotify, really top-level professionals. And it's just been momentum growing. And we still do Indie Weekly every Tuesday. We just had Margaret McGuffin from Music Publishers Canada.
I was going to say, just watched it.
Yeah. And, you know, so that one, it was great. We had, you know, representatives of Global Affairs Canada in the audience. We had David Bowie's manager in the audience. We had people from Brazil, from Australia, from UK, from Germany, from Canada. It's crazy what's happening. And we're just, you know, we took a chance. And that's the thing when, again, going back to like, is it worth it? Yeah, try it. And it's amazing what can happen.
I love the one of Margaret McGuffin, Music Publishing 101, How to Get Your Music Heard. And I couldn't believe that they took the top 20 most streamed songs over the most recent years. And there were over 90 different writers, and 56 of those writers were actually in the band. And so Margaret was saying, like, make sure you guys agree on splits. You know, the number one reason somebody doesn't get paid because they either haven't registered the song, they didn't agree on the splits, and even just getting something in writing. I thought it was so interesting. I got so much out of that episode. So
yeah, she dropped some stats. And one stat that really resonated, like Canada, we talk about, is an export country. And that's why international is so important. And while we can't travel right now, everyone's online. This is the time to make connections. And that stat was, it was the out of all the earnings, 79% was from outside of Canada for the top earners. And I'm like, wow. So that says a lot to me that artists should be connecting online internationally more than ever before. And not even just through IndieWeek. IndieWeek's one of the vehicles, the tools that you can use. We use a platform called Whova, and you can literally message anybody in attendance, including speakers, directly. You can host your own meetup on the platform and say, hey, I want to do a talk about co-writing. And as well, it's 6 months. So that means 6 months after the event, you can still be messaging and connecting and collaborating. And we've been seeing that. So, and also all the sessions are recorded and put up. So if you can't make it, you can watch it. It's an amazing time. And like that couldn't happen in person. If you missed the session, oh, that's it. Now you can.
Or how about I couldn't get a flight out there? I had to work. Did you find that the events actually became more diverse and larger when they became virtual because more speakers could attend without, you know, paying for all that overhead of flights, hotels, and you weren't taking up somebody's whole weekend? Did you feel the events got even more diverse when they became virtual?
Absolutely. So diverse in audience, meaning younger and older, as well as people with, you know, certain mobility issues that wouldn't be able to go into a venue. Now they're tuning in. So that's been great to be able to have. It's a higher level of access. The barriers are falling down, and that's an amazing thing. And then, you know, we've also had people like, normally I can't make it to Indie Week because I work. Well, I've got two computers. So while I'm working, I'm listening. And so people are tuning in while they're working. And then as far as speakers go, yeah, we've been able to get some real top level speakers. Like Indie Week coming up, we've got Steve Stewart, manager of Stone Temple Pilots, you know, a band that sold only over 40 million albums. And he's going to be sharing, you know, tips on developing an artist through artist management. We've had John V from Roblox, head of global music for Roblox, which is massive. Wow. Musio, Midio, Spotify, Twitch, YouTube, well, you name it, man. It's been awesome. So yes, higher level speakers, higher level connections. And again, we're looking at this as a positive, and we're trying to, the biggest thing I'd say that really also comes out of it is we've built this cool online community. There's people that show up to everything we do, and they're great people. I just message them, right? And so here's the thing. I did this before earlier today, but I want to show a tip, and this is what artists should be doing. Okay. So Sandeep, I'm on our Indie Week account on Instagram. And I already messaged Sandeep earlier today and he got back, but I'm going to just thank him again. Hey, Sandeep, thanks again. So much appreciation for what you're doing. And thank you for being part of our community. We'll see you there. And if there's anything else we could do, let us know. Right. So now he's got this personal message. Right. Sandeep, by the way, I'll plug him. He's in a band called Spiral Theory. He comes to everything we do. He's great. But this is the thing is like artists should be doing this with fans. It takes no time.
That's interesting.
Effort.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, thanks for liking my page. That's it. And I've told some people they should do this and they're like, oh, I don't know if I feel comfortable doing it. I'm like, it's like leaving a voice message on a phone and you know they're not going to answer because it's just you sending a message. So what are you afraid of?
Especially today where everything is just so automated, you know, you really lose that human touch these days of making personal connections with people. So I think that's super important, you know, and I bet a lot of the people who want to speak at your events too is because of that relationship. I can imagine with you or with just what you've built over the years too, you know?
Yeah. Even so we even to like even push it further last year, we launched mentorships as well. In October last year, we did an export ready mentorship. And in December we did a future proof your career. And literally every morning after we did a session on our future proof, I just took an hour out and I thanked every single person that attended. And I kind of gave them some homework. So a little bit of engagement, you know, before our next session, this is what I'd like you to do. Go to your browser, look this website up, watch this video, and we can talk about it at our next session, right? And so this is the thing is that we're in a time where you can actually connect with the important people, and that's the people who are going to buy your merch, buy your tickets, attend your shows. And though you need to bring those barriers down so that you stand out, because think of it, that I believe the latest stat is 70,000 songs on average are going up on Spotify. How do you break through that noise and clutter? You have to be genuine and you have to understand that one person can be so valuable long. Think in 5 years, how many CDs they might buy, how many tickets to shows they might buy, how many t-shirts they might buy. How many things are they going to share of yours? That one person is so valuable that you have to create that relationship. And that's what we're trying to do as a conference.
I think it's interesting too, because you're also the head of marketing for CD Baby in Canada, right? So, and CD Baby just has so much education out there for musicians, right? They have the DIY musician blog. They have a great podcast. I feel like you are just all about just helping emerging artists, which is so great.
Absolutely. Like I've been with CD Baby for 2.5 years and, you know, talking about, is it worth it? When we did our last Indie Week in UK, CD Baby was a sponsor. I met the rep there. I previously had done a trade mission throughout South America and had met the CD Baby rep in Chile, in Argentina and Brazil. And that led me to inviting who is now my boss, to speak at Indie Week in person. And so then he got back to me after the conference and said, wow, Canada is really exciting. We should have somebody there on the ground. And so I pitched myself to them and luckily they said yes. And it's a really great fit because all the messaging internally with CD Baby has really been about helping artists from the top down. If it's good for the artist, let's do it. And if we can offer more education and more resources and more tools, that DIY independent artist can manage their own business and their own career, let's do it. So it's really like everything just sort of fits with what I've been doing with Indie Week prior, but also with now CD Baby. And it's great to see because one, you know, talking about those kind of methods, I'm actually getting to connect with artists directly. Like I've never been able to do before. We're actually hosting a CD Baby meetup for a CD Baby artist in Canada tomorrow. And we've had over 140 artists sign up for it. And I'm able to connect with them and hear their struggles and maybe we can help, you know? So yeah, and CD Baby, I just have so much respect for the company with their messaging and what they're all about, their values.
That's awesome. I noticed earlier you mentioned Steve Stewart. Is he going to be on Indie Week in November?
Yes. Yeah. We had him talk 2 weeks ago for Indie Weekly. And that was kind of more like, don't be afraid of digital. He also runs, he's the CEO of a company called Vest, which is, think of invest. And it's about allowing people to invest in your, say, next release as part of ownership of publishing. So it's kind of like crowdsourcing. You know, you might say, I'm going to sell off 20% of my publishing to get money now to actually make the song. And, you know, there's lots of ways you can frame the deal. Steve would probably know better on all of that, but it's really interesting and it's very forward thinking. But also it's a way to have that fan engagement where they're involved at a higher level. You know, think of how many fans that might want to invest in your career because they believe in you.
Steve, he really guided Stone Temple Pilots from being an unknown funk band to this multi-platinum powerhouse. And with Vest, which I'm sure he's going to be talking about, like you said, on Indie Week, music fans can buy a share of the future earnings of a song. And I just think that's so cool. No, you can't short it. It's not, these aren't stocks, but
yeah. And I have to say, I have so much respect for Steve. He's been so gracious of his time, and he shared some really interesting stories about the development of Stone Temple Pilots that really is about strategy and, you know, going against the grain a little bit, but also future. Like, how did he develop that band and working with the record label? You know, record label wanted one thing, he wanted a different thing because he was forward thinking. And so, yeah, he shared some really cool stories with us, and he's going to be sharing more of those at Indie Week.
I know we have a couple mutual friends, Dave Kuhl, who is the VP of Bandzoogle, and Stacey Bedford, the CEO. I've done a couple podcast episodes with them, and it's really cool that they're a sponsor. Have they been presenters at your conferences as well?
Absolutely. They're heavily involved. Basically, pretty much every conference, Bandzoogle has had a presentation or a panel. We actually did an interview with Stacey at our last conference, Music Pro Summit. But they, again, they're another company that, and we try to align with like-minded companies where it's really about the artist and it's just the right fit. Bandzoogle is so good at what they do. They've helped raise so much money for artists through their platform, and they don't take a cut of it. It just goes to the artist. What a great partner to have. And, you know, they're Canadian as well, based out of Montreal. So even better.
I know all the cool guys are in Canada, man. I don't know what I'm doing over here.
Yeah. Anytime we can help promote another Canadian company, that's great. And like I said, they're great people. I've actually known Dave for a good number of years. So it was interesting when I got hired at CD Baby and learning that Bandzoogle is a partner and learning Dave was there. I was like, oh, this is great to reconnect with Dave after a good number of years. And yeah, if you're an artist and you haven't checked out Bandzoogle, please do.
Dave was one of the first people to ever come on my podcast. That's just like how cool of a guy he is. He's like, I don't care if you had never recorded an episode, like let's freaking do it, man. You know? And most recently I had Stacey on and we did an episode about why working remotely is the best way to run a business, because Bandzoogle is totally remote. I think they had an office in the back of a studio or something at the very beginning, but for years they've been remote. And I'm curious your experience, Daryl, as you get people on your staff working together every day, do you personally know everybody on your staff? Are there people you haven't met in person, or how does that work for you?
Yeah, at the start of COVID, we had to downsize us. So unfortunately, we, you know, lost some staff members at that time because we were like I said, year off, not doing anything. It was really stressful. And like, you know, we do other activities. We had a client, a real major client, like the NHL team in Toronto. We programmed all the live events after every home game. And when NHL canceled, we lost that. Like, it was really stressful at the start of COVID because, like, wow, all our income is gone. And we were able to get through it. So what's happened is, as well as we've always worked with schools and do internship programs. And a lot of that is us trying to find the right people to hire. And so as we've gotten through COVID first year and building these other conferences, we've actually been able to start building up and hiring. So we've actually hired 4 new people. And yeah, I haven't met them in person. So yeah, haven't met them in person yet, but we do Zoom calls. And like I say, I'm so lucky to have such a great team. Young people that are so enthusiastic and passionate about what we're doing and helping artists.
Do you find that things are more productive for you compared to a typical office setting at previous jobs, or do you think it's more productive for everybody?
It's hard to say. Like, I've always been, like, I actually had a handle that I pulled a number of years ago called Digital Nomad, because I'm often traveling at conferences. So I'm the remote one all the time anyways. So I've been fairly used to it, you know. And prior to this, I was also like a freelancer. So I've always done freelance graphics and branding and websites. So during a lot of it, I was a freelancer for Live Nation for about 8 years. And I'd be running a conference in Ireland, and I'd get this urgent, we need this now. So here I am in Ireland, 1 a.m, making a poster and a VIP pass and firing it off to LA. Or I remember being in Costa Rica, sitting in the pool at the bar, making graphics for Live Nation as well. So I've always been kind of remote, I'd say.
And you've been managing bands too, right? You managed that band from Ireland. You've managed quite a few.
Yeah. I've managed a band in Ireland, a band in UK. I had about 6 to 10 at different times in Toronto. It's been an interesting ride, and I'm, you know, a lot of experience out of it when I look back, and I'm thankful for it.
Okay, you're the perfect person for me to ask this to. You've got TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Clubhouse, Twitch. What in the world should we be focusing on today to get ourselves out there? Do we need to be focusing on a record label? Anything that you could kind of give us as far as what goes into a foundation of something sustainable today for an artist?
This is a great question. And truthfully, it kind of falls in line with the ongoing question, even prior to all this stuff, is, you know, how do I get signed? How do I get a manager? How do I get a booking agent? Those are all the questions. And if I can be really blunt, is you got to really focus on you first and don't give a shit about anything else. And I'm being blunt. It's the kind of thing where so many times I see artists are chasing these dreams. If only I could open for this band, if only get this manager, if I could only get a booking agent, and it never matches what they think the results will be. So they're disappointed. Now, one thing I do know and is this: if you approach any of those people and you don't have anything going on and you don't have huge crowds or fans, you're going to get a really bad deal because you have no negotiating power. And this is why we always hear, oh, evil record labels. Oh, you mean they're going to give you money like a bank loan, taking a chance on you? And in the most cases, they're never making any of it back. Of course, they're going to want to say in your career. Of course, they want to have like direction and such, right? So the thing is, if you come to them and say, hey, I have 1 million fans, let me do what I do, or you don't get access to those 1 million fans, now you've got negotiation power. So I really say kind of almost be in a bubble and really just don't even try to build those, like, don't even go for that. They will come to you when they know you've got a story and you have an audience. We are in a people business. And, you know, I do these sessions. It's called Future Proof Your Career. I just am working on the next one. It's going to be early next year. And it's like, when you concentrate on people, like, oh, how do I make more money? Sell more stuff. How do I do that? Have more people. Who buys tickets? People. Who buys shirts? People. Streams, that's people too. So the thing is, often people or artists are concentrating on the wrong things when they should be focusing on people. And this comes from my web background, my digital background. There's a book series called O'Reilly Press, and Tim O'Reilly is the owner of it. And there was an interview about 2002 that really has stuck with me. And he was talking about the next wave of the web. And they asked him, what does he predict? And he's like, the web is a platform. And if you have a database that people can contribute to it and become this part of this community, people add value. And now think of it like this. We all are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, Snapchat, Twitch, eBay. There's probably some I'm missing. Now imagine if no one signed up. So Facebook would be a blue bar with a logo and no content, nothing. Because the only thing on there is stuff that we've uploaded. Same thing with Twitter. If nobody signed up to Twitter, it'd be a blue bar with a logo and nothing. LinkedIn, that's the one I missed. Also blue bar. By the way, branding blue and white, social media kind of makes sense. There's a reason for why it's so common. But that's the thing. So it's those companies are making lots of money because people have participated and the volume of people they can now sell other things to, like advertising. So it's kind of like they don't put up a paywall. It's free. There's a chance because it's online to have a billion people. And if you can make $1 from each, that's $1 billion. But what if you made $10 from each? What if you made $100 off of each? That's a lot of money. So as an artist, and part of this program I'm working out, I'm going to show how all you need is 1,040 people to potentially make $100,000 a year. And it's people add value. And so really, like I showed here, I just voice messaged one of our audience members. That gives them some value. And Sandeep's a great guy. Like he really is. And he's so active in our community. You know, I had sent him a previous voice message. I don't know if you could see it, right? Look, he already
I can see it, yeah.
Liked it and sent another thing.
I see the love button.
Yeah, right? This is the thing. And look at Sandeep. Like, this is the thing is, look, he has liked everything we post. Everything. What a great guy, you know? So, of course, we want to help him elevate his career as much as possible, you know? And so,
yeah.
This is the thing. It's a two-way street. We're building relationships. And all of these people together collectively add a value. And within it, they're adding a value by co-writing together, by sharing others' social medias, by maybe giving advice within the community. And you just don't know. Like, it's so cool. One of the other members, Mackenzie, you know, he's got a song now that has artists from, I think, 24 countries singing backups on it that he met through the community. And how
cool is that? Oh, wow. Through the Indie Week community?
Yeah. Right. And so imagine if he gains 10 fans in each of those areas. It helps. It helps start in moving forward. So, yeah, it's just a very cool space we're in, and people add value. That's the phrase I will live by.
I was thinking about why this made an impact with me for a long time. When I signed up for a CRM for my wedding band, it's called Dubsado. It's a really great CRM. We've had them on here too. But they sent me a little envelope and it just had a little bumper sticker in it, right? To my house one day. I was like, this is weird. What is this? I opened it up. It was like a little bumper sticker and instead of note, you know, like a handwritten note. Hey, thanks for signing up. I was like, that's great. And I didn't really think anything of it at the time, but it just kind of stuck with me for months. Like, that was those guys are really cool, you know, simply because of that, you know. And even now, if somebody calls us for a wedding band gig, maybe they don't even hire us, we'll send them a little packaged gift through a company called Greetable, you know, just little things like that make a big difference with people. You never know how somebody's day is going either. And
absolutely,
I just think it's really cool.
Absolutely. Like, I've done check-ins with people randomly. Like, they're not expecting it. And I'll just like, hey, Jenny, just checking in. How you doing? And she's like, oh, I couldn't tune into Indie Weekly yesterday. I was so disappointed, but like, I've got so much going on. And I'm able to go, it's okay. You know, we're here to help you. If you need anything, just let us know. And just that kind of support system is what's really been interesting to watch. And artists are doing it for each other now. And it's organic because we've started, but now it's like, but there's so many things we don't actually know going on because they're doing it on their own. And we find out after the fact. So it's, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Talk to me about getting coffee with the drummer of the Doors.
It's an interesting thing. And a funny thing is, it's a, coffee with drummers. I don't know what it is, but it seems to be part of my history. Because just to say, I'll get to the John Densmore story in a bit, but John Densmore, drummer of The Doors, Martin Atkins, drummer of Nine Inch Nails Ministry, and Mike Joyce, drummer of The Smiths. I've had coffee with them all. Right?
Really?
Yeah. And our first introduction was coffee. With Martin Atkins, I had found out he had written a book called Tour Smart. And this is MySpace days. And I looked it up and I'm like, oh, he's doing a book launch and signing like next week in Toronto. So on MySpace, I message him, hey, I see you're doing a book signing. Want to go for a coffee? And he said, yeah. Just like that. And we've been great friends since. And we're actually, he's part of Indie Week. And he's working on, like, we're working on a collaboration to host. We haven't announced it, so this will be the first. Michael Anthony Alago, the guy who signed Metallica. And we're going to co-present. And then Mike Joyce, I was in the UK at Focus Wales, and he was a guest. I messaged his agent and I said, could I have coffee with Mike Joyce? And so then with John Densmore, it's a bit of a long story, but if we've got...
Oh, yeah. We always have time for John Densworth. So
okay. So this goes to taking a chance, going back to what we said earlier. We were launching an indie music festival or film festival during Indie Week called Real Indie Film Fest. And it was really focused on like music documentaries and music. It was kind of before music documentaries were cool though. Right. So it was a hard push on the marketing, but I had a partner in launching it, and he's in the film industry. And in Toronto, we have a big film festival called Toronto Film Fest, International Film Fest, TIFF. And he was out of town directing a movie, but he's like, you should go to this party. And if my friend, publicist, she was running it, and it's at a small bar. And I was like really busy at work, preparing for Indie Week, because Indie Week's like a month away and it's like long days. And I was sitting in my office by myself because all staff are done. I'm like, man, I should be at this thing networking. I'm not really feeling it because I have so much to do. And do I trade off not getting things done or going to a party that might not be worth anything? I don't know. And I was sitting there and I'm like, I got to go. Okay. So I go, I meet some people. And a couple of these guys from LA in the film business knew my partner, business partner. And they're like, give me our cards and all that. And 2 weeks later, they called me and said, would you be interested in a film in your film festival that has an unreleased song from The Doors as the opening track? Yes. Yes, I would. And by the way, John Densmore is one of the producers behind the film. Financing it. Absolutely interested. And they're like, would you be interested in John maybe speaking? Yes, 100%. So I was able to get his email. I messaged him and didn't really get too much of a response, kind of little bit. And I, you know, the power is like, look things up, because I found out he's doing a book signing in Toronto in a week, right? So just like Martin Atkins. And, you know, I was working and I'm like, man, I have so much to do. If I go to this book signing, I don't even know if I'll get a chance to like even say anything. And I did last minute. Okay, I'm going. And it had already started. It was already an hour in. And I get there. There's a lineup down the block. And I get in line. And literally two people after me, they said, no more people in line. So I just made it. I waited an hour and almost a half to be able to get to talk to him. And I've got a picture of that exact moment, shaking his hand, going, hi, I'm the guy that's emailed you about the film festival in Toronto. And he's like, oh, you didn't wait in line, did you? And they're like, yeah. He's like, let's go for a coffee. So he gave me his number, which I was kind of like, John Densmore just gave me his phone number. That's crazy. And he's like, I'm in town for a few days. And so we went for a coffee and I pitched him the idea of having him come as a keynote speaker. And it took a lot of work, but about 2 more weeks. And he said, sure. And so here's the thing. One, if I hadn't gone to the industry party at TIFF, I wouldn't have met the producer guys or the people who knew the producers. If I didn't go to the book signing, I wouldn't have met John Densmore. Right? And this is just me, one guy by himself, like going to these things and, you know, not knowing who's going to be there. And we were able to get John Densmore to be our keynote speaker as a result. So again, if you sit at home on your couch, 100% nothing happens. if you go out to these events, you just don't know what's going to happen. And that's really like Martin Atkins, Mike Joyce, you know, drummer of the Smiths, who's considered to be the biggest indie band in the world, spoke for us at Indie Week in Ireland and Canada. And, you know, sent me personal video for my birthday after it, which was really cool. So
wow,
you just don't know what's going to happen. So just go out there. So that's the thing. I just go out and who knows what's going to happen. I'm all over the place a lot of times, you know. So
that's a really inspiring story, man. It's so inspiring to just get out there. And even if, you know, nothing, you think nothing's going to happen.
Yeah. And the key is you got to know if you're selling or talking about something, you got to know what you're talking about. You know, with John Densmore, it was tough because it's like, he's like, what do you expect? I'm like, we've never done a film festival before. This is our first one. So it was a hard sell. And that's why it took a couple of weeks of negotiation after. With Mike Joyce, it was like, we've never done Indie Week in UK before. This is our first one. And he took a chance and he pulled me aside the last night of Indie Week in UK. And he said, you know what? I usually don't do these things, but I did it because of what you said you were going to do about the artists and helping artists and educating artists and such. And he goes, you know what? You did it. He's like, I love it. I want to come to Canada. And I was like, what? This is amazing. Like Mike Joyce of the Smiths, you know? And when we were in Canada, he had such a great time. And it was like he was DJing at a party of ours as well and speaking. It was so good. So again, you just don't know what's going to happen. So just do it, you know?
This November 9th through 13th is Indie Week. It's a 5-day conference, keynotes, panels, international networking opportunities, which we were talking about earlier, workshops, mentorships, and so much more. You can go on indieweek.com and get tickets now. Daryl, what can you tell us about Indie Week, man? What can we expect? Give us the 411.
You know, we took a lot of time and effort when we were building it. This is one thing I'm really picky. So the experience is so important and the curation of the panels and how it flows. It's going to be great. Last year, people came to us after and said, that was like a real conference. I feel like I've been to an in-person conference. It's intense, long days, so be ready. But the thing is, you're going to come back with tools and knowledge, resources, and the fact that you can go back and listen again gives you that sort of safety net of understanding of like, I can do this. And sometimes, you know, at the in-person events, people could be talking on stage and you'd be like, what are they talking about? I don't quite, what? Well, by having the chance to watch that video and Google at the same time or in the chat, people are saying, this is what this means. It's actually almost a better experience on the education front. And so if anything, for artists, this is, I think, one of the best things you could do for your career. And I'm not just saying that. It's like what I really believe based on the results we have seen. And we've seen a lot in 12 months already. It's exciting. So indieweek.com, IndieWeek.com, November 9th through 13th. But again, it doesn't end there. We have Indie Weekly free every Tuesday. And the sign up is at indieweek.com as well.
Daryl Hurst, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, man. I can't wait for Indie Week and to keep up with everything that you guys are doing.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this. And if anybody just wants to hit me up, look me up on Instagram. I'm easy to find, Daryl Hurst. Send me a voice message and I'll respond.
Thanks for listening to my chat with Daryl. Indie Week is November 9th through 13th, and it features speakers from CD Baby, Band Zoogle, Marky Ramone from The Ramones, Steve Stewart from Stone Temple Pilots, and CEO of Vest. And that's just a small preview of 80 plus speakers and 68 plus panels going on. So make sure you go to www.indieweek.com. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Mike Zabrin, and we'll see you next week on Funktastic Chats. Once in a lifetime love, and I don't want my life to be like it was.
Maybe because your light shines enough for every dark sky to be bright enough. And you are a once-in-a-lifetime love. And I don't want my life to be like it was. Maybe because your light shines enough for every dark sky to be bright enough. You are a once-in-a-lifetime love. And I don't want my life to be like it was. Maybe because your light shines enough for every dark sky to be bright enough.